Praise the Lord. It's been prayed already this morning. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And we know that our topic at the moment is the strength. Strength for today. Strength for your day. Strength for my day. Hallelujah. We began in Isaiah. The Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. And we discovered that the source of our strength is God Himself, praise the Lord. And then we looked at the promise of strength. As thy days are, so shall thy strength be. Hallelujah. And God has enough strength there for all of us, enough grace to pour it out upon us. And it's promised to us that as long as we're alive on this earth, that God will be our strength. Now today we're going to look at the conditions for that strength. Turn to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40. And we'll read from verse 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope or wait, as it says in the Authorized Bible, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Amen. You know, most birds fly from tree to tree. But the eagle soars into the highest heavens, reaching incredible altitudes, and can soar for hours and hours and hours. I'm glad that the Lord didn't say I'd be like a starling or a sparrow or a magpie. They make awful noise, those magpies. But he said we would renew our strength and be like an eagle, hallelujah, and we would soar. Soar above what? Soar above the things of this earth, the things of this life, the things that trouble us now. We can soar above those things in our spirit. It's true that the young get tired. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. And so the condition for the strength of God is that we trust Him, that we hope in Him, that we wait for Him, that we're not moving in our strength. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, not ours. And this week has demonstrated to us just how little might we really have. You know, when one volcano thousands of miles from here can paralyze the whole half the earth is paralyzed by that one thing. God says that I will shake everything. Amen. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And boy, we've seen some shaking in these past few years. Really, it seemed to all start with that tsunami, didn't it? About, what was it, 5 years ago? And these 5 years hence, we've seen some shaking going on. In earthquakes, in the sea. And now this, the economy, the banks, oh my, everything's being shaken. And God says, wait on me, hope in me, trust in me, put your trust in me. When we put our trust in earthly systems, They're going to fail us. And they do frequently, don't they? But if we trust in the Lord, if we hope in Him, if we wait on Him, we will renew our strength. And there are times when we need to do that, because there are times when we feel battered and bruised and weary and downtrodden. King David knew that, didn't he? When they'd taken the enemy had come in and ransacked the camp and taken all his the wives and the kids and the goods, and everything had gone and captured. And David comes back and everything's in a mess. And the brethren that were with him said, "Oh, let's get rid of David. This is his fault. This is his doing this." And the Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. And then he led the party to reclaim back everything that the enemy had taken from them. Amen. And that's the secret, isn't it? Is when we feel battered, when we feel bruised, and there are times like that in all our lives, the secret is to look to God to renew our strength. Because He says that He has prepared a table for us in the midst of our enemies. Praise the Lord. In the midst of our enemies, there is still provision there from God. They that wait, they that hope in the Lord will renew their strength. And so, it's conditional. We need to learn to wait on Him. We need to learn to hope in Him. And if we do that, He will renew our strength. Turn to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 11. This is talking about end times and prophecy and things that will happen upon the earth. Quite apt, really, for what we're thinking about today. In verse 32, Daniel 11, "With flattery he will corrupt those who have violated the covenant." So this is somebody evil, somebody bad, somebody who's antichrist. Amen? Somebody who's standing against the truth, against the church. But the people who know their God will firmly resist Him. Amen. Let's read that again. "With flattery he will corrupt those who have violated the covenant, but the people who know their God will firmly resist Him." So we have to know Him in whom we have believed. And those who know their God, the Bible says, will do exploits. Praise the Lord. We could do with a few exploits. And so we need to know God. We need to trust God. We need to wait for God. Hebrews chapter 11. By faith. Hallelujah. Verse 33. Let's read from verse 32. "And what more shall I say? I did not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouth of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies." Hallelujah. Faith, trust, to know Him whom we have believed. Amen. To know Him, to trust Him, to hold on to Him through faith. Our strength will be renewed. Our weakness will be turned to strength. We've said so many times before, that his strength is perfected in our weakness. When we feel like we can do this, we don't need him. But when we acknowledge that I can do nothing without you, suddenly faith comes into play. Suddenly we realize we need his strength. And it's by abiding, as we heard last week, abiding in the vine, abiding in Christ, being in him, living in him, living, moving, and having our being in him, that we draw that strength from the vine. And so it's conditional. If you want strength for your day, wait upon the Lord, know him, trust him, have faith in him, and he will strengthen us. Psalm 119. See, we can pray for strength. I've been praying for strength these last few days. Let me be strong and not frustrated. Praise the Lord. That's still my prayer this morning. Help me to trust in the Lord. Lean not to your own understanding. When we try and work things out, that's when we get frustrated. My wife tells me I get ratty. I don't believe it, not a word of it, but she says so. Yes, we need to trust in the Lord, amen? And we can pray, Father, strengthen us. Psalm 119, verse 28. My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Praise the Lord. Strengthen me according to your word. That's a cry from the heart of the psalmist. Lord, I'm tired, I'm weary, I'm beaten down, I'm fed up. Strengthen me. Strengthen me according to your word. And then Nehemiah disappearing book, Nehemiah. Hallelujah. Nehemiah chapter 6. Don't be afraid to use the index, folks, now. They were all trying to frighten us, thinking their hands will get too weak for the work and it will not be completed. But I prayed, now strengthen my hands. Amen. Praise the Lord. I like that. That was Tobiah and Sanballat and those men who were trying to drag down the work of God in the rebuilding of Jerusalem, the walls of Jerusalem, and were giving Nehemiah a hard time. They were laughing at him and saying, oh, if a fox walked along the walls, it would knock them down. And they were being sarcastic and well, Nehemiah said, strengthen me, Lord. Amen. In the face of such opposition, strengthen me, Lord. And there are times when we feel that we are too weak and that work won't be completed. But we pray, Lord, strengthen me. Strengthen my hands. Strengthen us for the work that you have called us to do. And then Psalm 22. Just over the page. This is the psalm that so closely describes the sufferings of Jesus on the cross. And verse 19, the psalmist cries out here. But you, O Lord, be not far off. O my strength, come quickly to help me. Deliver my life from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of the lion. Save me from the horns of the wild ox. I will declare your name to my brothers. In the congregation, I will praise you. Strengthen me. Come quickly to help me. And God is always willing to hear a prayer like that. A call for strength. Lord, strengthen me. Many people over the years, many people who have suffered much for their faith, have had to rely on the strength that comes from knowing God. The strength that comes directly from Him. The impartation of grace that comes from God. And the psalmist here was crying out in his agony, "Oh, my strength, come quickly to help me." Hallelujah. And then we can affirm these things. Back into Isaiah. Chapter 49. Hallelujah. This chapter is headed up the servant of the Lord. And verse 5, Isaiah 49 and 5. "And now the Lord says, He who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself. For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength." Praise the Lord. Here the prophet is affirming, confessing, speaking out that God is his strength. Perhaps he's reminding himself of things that have gone before, encouraging himself in the Lord as David did, and affirming this, making it certain in his heart, in his soul, in his mind. And sometimes we have to do that, don't we? Sometimes we have to remind ourselves of the things that God has done, of the promises of the Lord. We have to read them. We have to confess them. We have to say, this is what the Word of God says concerning me. Because we can listen to the voices of the enemy. We can listen to the voices of the age. You know, we can listen to the voices of the world. We can listen sometimes even to negative thoughts and comments from our brethren. And we have to say, no, this is what God says. This is what the Word of God says. And we affirm these things in our heart. My God has been my strength. I am honored in the eyes of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Chosen by God. Each one of us is here. Not because we chose him, but because he chose us. And as we read last week again, as Terry was speaking, that we might produce fruit, and fruit that will last, fruit that will remain. That is what God's plan and purpose is for you. The enemy has another agenda altogether, and we have to affirm that we are living in God's purposes. Praise the Lord. This is our day for him. When I came in this morning into the church, my prayer was, Lord, let me do a good job for you and for the people. Amen. Because this is our day. This is my day to serve the Lord and to serve you. And it's your day to serve the Lord and to serve each other. That's why we're here today. Let's affirm that. God will be our strength as we seek to serve him. Praise the Lord. My God shall be my strength. And then back to Psalms. Psalm 71. This is a psalm where the psalmist is speaking out and confessing who God is and what he has done for him. In verse 15, let's read from verse 14. "But as for me," sounds familiar, doesn't it? Sounds like Joshua. "As for me, I shall always have hope. I will praise you more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteousness, of your salvation all day long, though I know not its measure. I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, O sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteousness, you alone. Since my youth, O God, you have taught me. To this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I'm old and gray, do not forsake me, O God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come. Amen. That's the declaration of a man who knew where the source of his strength was. And who was confessing it and saying that every day he understands where his source is. Every day his source of strength is in the Lord. He says, from my youth to my old age. And the older generation here need to be declaring to the younger generation that if you want to be successful in life, your strength is in the Lord. It's not in your degree or your education. Not that there's anything wrong in those things as they stand, but that's not where our hope is, hallelujah. Our hope is in Him. Praise the Lord. And He has a plan and a purpose that goes beyond the purposes of man. The book of Proverbs says that the purposes of God are greater than the plans of men. Men make plans, but God has purposes. Amen. We made a plan to go to Romania tomorrow morning, but it's not going to happen. I don't know why. But the word of God says that all things work together for good to them that love Him and are called according to what? His plans? No, His purposes. And God has a purpose in everything He does. And even though it can seem negative to us, there is a purpose in it somewhere. And He says, my plans are to do you good. So the purposes of God are higher than the plans of men. This will only be the second time in all those years of going to Romania that I've failed to make it. So that's not bad, is it? I've been about, I don't know. I have no idea. Probably getting on for 80, maybe more times since 1990. And only once before did we fail to get there. That's because we broke down in Hungary and had to fly home. See, we make plans, but God has purposes. Always remember that His purposes for you are greater than your plans. And you might be ticking the boxes and filling in the forms and putting in the applications and doing all the things that you know to do, and that's fine. Because God will override our plans with His purposes as long as we allow Him to be sovereign. Amen. We've got to allow Him to be sovereign, haven't we? The one thing God won't fight with is our will. If we say, I will, then God will say, okay, do it. But not with me. The old time preacher says, you can have what you want, but you might not like what you get. Amen. That's true, that. We can have what we want, but we might not like what we get. But if we submit to the will of God and ask God to be sovereign in all things and ask that His purposes will overshadow our plans, then we will be a success. Praise the Lord. As God measures success, not as we measure success, but as He measures success. And so let us declare. He says there in verse 18, I declare your power to the next generation. And so we need to be declaring the power of God to our children and to our grandchildren. Hallelujah. This generation that's growing up needs to know that God is able. Because they're growing up in a more confused world than we grew up in. You know, people said, I grew up in the 60s. People said the 60s were confused. But I'll tell you what, the world today is a lot more confused than it was back then. A lot more confused. There's a lot of things out there that are designed to trip up our children and lead them astray, to trip up our grandchildren and lead them astray. And we have to declare the strength of God, the power of God, the keeping power of God while we're old, he says here. Hallelujah. While we're old and great, do not forsake me, O God, until I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come. Glory to God. And so we can affirm that God is at work in our life. And then Philippians. After the book of Ephesians comes the book of Philippians. Hallelujah. Chapter 4. And we'll read from verse 10. Paul is thanking the church at Philippi for their concern for him, their gifts that they'd sent to help him. He says, I rejoice greatly. This is Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need. For I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. That's interesting, because he had to learn it. Amen. That means that as the great apostle, he had to learn to be content. And I think we're all learning, aren't we, in that area? We're all learning to be content with what we've got. Somehow it never seems to quite reach maturity, especially in us fellas. We're always grasping for the next thing. And I do think women are possibly more content with their lot than men are. We always seem to be looking for the, I don't know, hole in one. No, I've long give up on that. Praise the Lord. But we're, you know, and the Apostle Paul says, I have learned. And maybe somebody's going through a learning experience at this moment in time. I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Praise the Lord. So even in times of need and difficulty, we rely on the strength of the Lord, not our own plans and schemes. The strength of the Lord. I can do everything. In other words, I can live with nothing, I can live with a lot. Both take strength, don't they? It takes strength to be poor, but it also takes strength to be rich. Because the love of money is the root of all evil, the scripture says. That's not some worldly proverb. That's scripture. The love of money, not money. Money is not evil. Okay? Otherwise, that would be a basket of evil. But it's not, is it? Money in itself is not evil. There's nothing evil about a £10 note. I opened some birthday cards last week with these in, and I was very pleased. I didn't think they were very evil at all. Okay, so there's nothing wrong with money. It's when we grasp it and we hoard it And we build bigger barns or bigger bank accounts so that we can keep it and hang on to it. That's when it becomes evil. It's the love of money that is evil, not money itself. We couldn't live without money. The kingdom of God wouldn't progress without money. Everything costs money. And so money is not evil by itself, but when we grasp after it. And that's why it takes strength to be rich. Jesus said it's harder for a rich man to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Because a rich man relies on his riches. A poor man relies on the Lord because he's nothing else to rely on. Amen? And the apostle says, I have learned to be content whether I'm poor or whether I'm rich, because the source of his strength is the Lord. Hallelujah. And he was affirming that here to the church at Philippi. He was grateful for the help that they'd given him. And we're always grateful, aren't we, when people help us. We're great, and we should be grateful. We should be a thankful people. We should be the most thankful people. And as we receive help, and then we're able to give help, and we can affirm that our strength comes from the Lord. And I think I'm going to leave it there this week. I don't want to give you indigestion with too many scriptures. Okay, so we've found out that God is the source. The Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. The promise of God is, as thy days shall be, as thy days are, so shall your strength be. So strength is promised, but it's conditional. We've got to wait, trust, hope, cling to, adhere to the Lord our God. We've got to pray, strengthen me according to your word. And we've got to affirm, my God shall be my strength. Okay? So there's four things that we've learnt today. It's conditional, it's prayable, and it's affirmable. It's promised, and the source is our God. So that's five things, not four. And I don't know, Benga's definitely going to preach next week, whether I'm here or not, because you can't ask a man to preach and then tell him he can't. That's not fair at all. So whether we'll be here this time next week, I have no idea. Only God knows. The Bible says that he knows the end from the beginning. And so all we can do is say, well, Lord, we were willing. And it's over to you now to make a way. God made a way through the Red Sea when there was no way for the children of Israel. There was Pharaoh's army behind and the Red Sea in front. There was no way out, but God made a way. And he can blow a hole in that ash cloud if he so desires to get us to Romania. But if he doesn't desire, then we have to say, okay. So we may be here next week, we may not. Just pray that the will of God is going to be done in this situation. Okay, so Father, we just thank you today that, Lord, your strength is perfected in our weakness. Lord, we pray that we might be weak in ourselves so that we can be strong in you. Lord, we pray that, Father, as our days are, so shall your strength be in us. And that, Lord, all that we seek to do this week, Father, will prosper as your hand of blessing is upon us. Lord, we pray for those in this church at this time who are in need. Lord, that you will bless them abundantly, that you will open doors of blessing. Father, showers of blessing upon them. Father, just move in circumstances. Lord, we pray that there will be light in our camp. Father, even when there's darkness in this world around us. Lord, we pray for those in this church who have some wealth. Lord, that they will have strength to use it wisely. Lord, that they will use it for the sake of the kingdom. And Lord, in doing so, they will store treasure in heaven. And so we bless you, Father, that your word is true. It never changes. Lord, you've never watered it down, but Lord, it is what it says. And so, Father, we declare today that our strength is in you. And so watch over us this week. Bless us, help us, be with us. Make a way where there is no way. Because, Lord, we look to you.